hours of general aviation and is an advanced instrument ground instructor. He is also rated in airplanes land and sea, instruments, gliders, hot air balloons, small unmanned aerial system, and has a tailwheel endorsement. He returned this week from deployment, so this is the first thing he's done since he's been back. And he plans to add helicopters to the list of ratings. Who knows, maybe while he's here, he'll find time to add a few more aircraft to his list while he's here. Next is Master Sergeant Jonathan Prodan. Master Sergeant Prodan entered the Air Force in 2005 from Wyandotte, Michigan. He started his career as an aircraft armament specialist on MH-53 Pablo helicopters, cross-trained into aviation in 2010, and is a CV-22 Osprey Special Missions Aviator and Command Flight Examiner assigned to the headquarters AFSOC, Herbert Field, Florida. Sergeant Prodan is responsible for guiding development and evaluating the readiness and capabilities of the command's $6 billion CV-22 fleet. As a subject matter expert, he is critical to the professional development and management of 146 CV-22 special mission aviators across the command. Sergeant Prodan has over 1,700 flight hours and has deployed several times in support of operations Inherent Resolve, Resolute Support, Enduring Freedom, and Freedom Sentinel, and Iraqi Freedom. Our next panel member is Captain Lauren Bailey. Captain Bailey commissioned into the Air Force as an Air Force Academy graduate in 2012 and is from Marco Island, Florida. She is an MC-130H Combat Talon II pilot assigned to the 15th Special Operations Squadron at Herbert Field, Florida. Captain Bailey executes special operations mobility to include infiltration, exfiltration, airdrop, and helicopter air-to-air refueling. She has multiple deployments in support of Operation Inherent Resolve and has over 900 flight hours. Last, but certainly not least, is our fearless leader and commander of Air Force Special Operations Command, Lieutenant General Jim Slife. General Slife hails from Hot Springs, Arkansas, and earned his Air Force commission through the Reserve Officers Training Corps program at Auburn University in 1989. So to put that in a little context, I am the second oldest person on this stage, and I was about 4 when he joined our Air Force. His early rated career started as a pilot on the MH-53 Pablo and later the MQ-1 Predator and MQ-9 Reaper. He is the most senior remotely piloted aircraft pilot in the Air Force, and under his direction and leadership, AFSOC provides highly trained, rapidly deployable airmen conducting global special operations missions worldwide with nearly 21,000 active duty, reserve, Air National Guard, and civilian professionals. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in a round of applause welcoming our panel members. It's a true honor to join you guys on the stage tonight, and our audience is in for a real treat. General Slife, sir, the floor is yours for opening remarks.
Well, thanks very much, Sergeant Benjamin. To those joining us tonight, thanks for taking a little bit of time to learn about the Air Force Special Operations Command. Certainly, we fly and operate some really unique airplanes doing some pretty exciting missions, but the best part of the Air Force Special Operations Command is sitting to my left. The airmen that make up the command are our competitive advantage. And so I can't wait for you to hear a little bit about their stories this evening and think about the commitment that they show to our mission and, frankly, to our nation. It's a privilege to serve these airmen and to be with you this evening. Thanks very much, Sergeant Benjamin.
Thank you, sir. The schedule for this evening includes moderated question and answer discussions, and we'll conclude with approximately 20 minutes of open questions from the audience. As mentioned during the introduction, we have representation from the AC-130, MC-130, CV-22, and U-28 communities. To begin, I'd like to ask you all to, if you can explain a little more about your platform, your crew position, the crew complement, and what role your platform plays in AFSOC. Sergeant Scott, let's start with you.
So, good afternoon. Thanks for having us out here. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm Staff Sergeant Brendan Scott. I'm a Special Missions Aviator on the AC-130J. The AC-130J and my job on it is very complex, but to break it down to you, my job is twofold. On one hand, I'm a loadmaster and responsible for loading ammunition, weight and balance of the aircraft, and operating its general subsystems, such as hydraulics, the flight controls, and its mission computers. On the other hand, I'm an aerial gunner, so I'm responsible for loading ammunition into the guns, maintaining the fact that they're going to operate as smoothly as possible so that we can provide fire support or whatever resources the teams on the ground need for us. So the AC-130J specializes in close air support, and we fill AFSOC's role of precision strike or precision employment and strike. What that means basically is that we support teams on the ground. What we're giving them could be fire support. It could also provide them an eye in the sky as a communications relay. It's whatever they need to safely execute their mission. We do that through multiple ways. We have dozens of radios on the airplane. We have two sensors on the aircraft that allow us to see the ground and be able to relay that information down to the ground. And we have two fire systems, the traditional 105 millimeter along with our brand new 30 millimeter, but we also brought precision guided weapons to the fight. What that allows us to do is stand off, be quieter so that they don't know that they were there. It also allows us to safely execute more precisely than traditional gunships would 57 years ago, where you're saturating a football field versus a single target. But really, sir, what we're here to do is to provide support to the guys on the ground and make sure that they're coming home safely.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you, Sergeant Scott. Yes, give it up. The AC-130J is truly a remarkable aircraft, and I had to look up the numbers just to be sure I was in the right ballpark, but the AC-130 in general has been just crushing hopes and dreams of the enemy on the battlefield for about 57 years since Vietnam. So we have a great capability here in the command. Lieutenant Fawad, same question over to you, sir.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Lieutenant Youssef Fawad. I'm a combat systems officer on the U-28. U-28A Draco as of this past year. It's a PC-12 retrofitted with about 600 pounds of military equipment. We specialize in intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance for special operations missions. And we are made up of a crew of four. We have an aircraft commander who's responsible for routing and safety of flight, managing the crew. We have a co-pilot who's responsible for backing up the aircraft commander as well as operating one of the two sensors we have on board. We also have a combat systems officer, which is my role, responsible for managing the mission, as well as the additional sensor, otherwise known as Sensor One. And then we have a tactical systems operator, which is the only enlisted crew member we have on board, and they just manage additional crew systems on board. Due to the robust communication systems and the two electro-optical infrared sensors we have on board, we're able to specialize in direct action raids as well as analyzing patterns of life. Oftentimes we get put into positions where we're supporting many teams on the ground, and in order for them to do their mission effectively and not have to worry about, you know, controlling the aircraft in the airspace, they offload a lot of tasks to us due to our ability to communicate with various assets, filter down the information, and pass pertinent information up and down the chain, both to the guys on the ground as well as other aircraft, and then the reach back to our operations center. With that, as a combat systems officer, I'm very much so like a quarterback. I'm managing the mission. I am figuring out what's important. I'm trying to think ahead what the team needs, because at the end of the day, I need to keep those guys on the ground safe, and I need to be able to effectively accomplish the commander's intent. So if I had to summarize in a very few words what I do as a U-28 combat systems officer, we find the bad guy, we maintain him, we protect the friendlies on the ground, and we communicate the battle space to the guys on the ground as well as back at the operations center for a successful special operations mission.
Great. Thanks, LT. The real-time battle space awareness the U-28 provides our geographic combat commanders and our guys on the ground and in the air is second to none. So I appreciate definitely what the U-28 brings to the fight. Master Sergeant Prodan, how about you?
I appreciate it, Senior Benjamin. And I got to say, I appreciate you guys coming out to see us and hearing our AFSOC mission and what we do in our specialized roles. It's an honor to be here. I didn't know that Oshkosh existed, and I lived literally across the lake, so fall on me. But so my job, I'm a CV-22 flight engineer, but by trade, I'm a special missions aviator, as Sergeant Scott said. I kind of fulfill both roles that they do as an enlisted flyer. I do a lot of performance and field planning, takeoff landing data for the aircraft, manage communication systems and aircraft systems, hydraulics, electronics. I do weight and balance and form up data, so managing all the cargo compartment area. And that's just from the cockpit position. I also help with navigation for the pilots, low-level navigation through the mountainous terrain, using the radar, painting picture through the heavy weather that we get into. But from the tail position, I also act as an aerial gunner. I act as a hoist operator, AIE expert, so alternate insertion and extraction. We do fast ropes, rappels. We do military free fall operations, so pretty heavily involved in every aspect of our mission on the CV-22. The CV-22 is a fantastic platform. I mean, it is a true game changer on the battlefield and anywhere, realistically. I mean, if you think about it, we basically can take an aircraft that combines the aerospace engineering phenomenally of a rotary wing aircraft and a fixed wing plane and basically beat a helicopter where a normal helicopter would be 2 to 3 times to get somebody off the battlefield, like golden hour. We're 2 to 3 times faster than that. So I'm not knocking my helicopter brothers. I mean, I love them to death. The rotary wing is, you know, near and dear to my heart, but the CV-22 is truly a game changer for our joint forces and for civilians. I mean, we go out and rescue people off of mountains if we need to, running the hoist operations, landing high altitude, hot weather environments. And that's really based around the CV-22 flight engineer in the cockpit. That individual in that crew position really is the voice of reason. We do a lot of mental math. Sometimes we get stumbled out on, you know, basic math gets busy when we're managing missions or running the communication systems and trying to hear everything that's going on, if we're in combat or not in combat. But we can almost act as a safety pilot, non-flying pilot, just to help back up the pilots when they're task saturated. So crew complement, we got 2 special operations pilots and 2 flight engineers or special missions aviators. And we're interchangeable. So one night I might fly in the cockpit as the seat engineer. Next night I might fly in the tail as the tail scanner and act as an aerial gunner. It's a really phenomenal job, and I wouldn't change it for the world. I mean, the things that we can accomplish with the aircraft is shipboard landing, like I said, military free fall. We can do personnel recovery, direct action assault. I mean, we do all the soft core activities for USOCOM. You name it, like, we're there. It is a truly, truly phenomenal capability to have for all of our joint partners, and not just U.S. I mean, you're talking worldwide. So, which is why Japan finally got their V-22s. The Navy is picking up their V-22s. I mean, it is a game changer, and I think it's going to be around for years to come. But I appreciate it, Senior Benjamin.